So, I don't know about you, names. What's in a name? Names are associated with a personality and character, aren't they? So here we got the royals, their latest addition to the family, Charlotte, Elizabeth, Diana. All those names are associated with something or somebody. Charlotte is the feminine of Charles. Elizabeth speaks of this amazing queen that we have had. Of course, it could be Elizabeth I, but I think it refers to Elizabeth II. What an amazing lady she really is. And Diana, obviously the reference to grandmother there. So names are associated with people and characters and personalities. And sometimes when we think of a name, we do think of a face, a character, or vice versa. Now, Sarah, my wife, was particularly partial to the name Mark and Daniel. And she wanted to call our middle child, when the child was born, if it was a boy, Mark Daniel. This was fine by me until we happened to watch the first original series of Poldark, which happened to be on then 25, 26 years ago. There's the original, that's the new one. I don't know how many of you are watching it. And the problem with watching Poldark is that there's a character in there called Mark Daniel who murders his wife. And that kind of ruined it for me, because I couldn't think, I am not having my son named after a wife murderer. Every time I call him Mark Daniel or think about him Mark Daniel, I'm thinking of this character who murdered his wife and had to row to France to escape. So I had to change the name. She was quite insistent, but I had a plan. I waited till she was in labor. Because we still hadn't settled on this thing, you know. And when the baby's born, they say, what are we going to call the baby? And at that time, the resistance was low, and I got my name. We called him Matthew. But I didn't think it through, really, because the thing is, Matthew is named after a tax collector. Sorry about that, man. But my name's equally as bad, Julian. I was born on the 15th of March. It's the Ides of March. Now, I didn't realize the significance of the 15th of March and Julian, which is actually the British name for the Roman name Julius, until I was 15 and doing O-levels, and we happened to be studying Julius Caesar, Beware the Ides of March, who got assassinated on the day of my birthday by his colleagues and his best friends. And I've been nervous of parties ever since. That's why I don't like surprise parties. Whatever you do, don't give me a surprise party. They really make me twitchy. And actually deciding who you're going to invite to your party is even worse. You know, do I invite my work friends or do I invite my work colleagues or best friends? What type of party is this going to turn out to be for me? So names have an association and they have a power, don't they? And whenever we think of a name and a face and a character and a personality, names are a big deal to God. When you look through the Bible, he really does take an interest in names, and he takes an interest in our names personally. The Bible says this, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. That basically means, in the Bible, a name represented a personality or a character. So when it says, I know you by name, God isn't just saying, I know your name. He's saying, I know you personally. I know everything about you. I know your talents, your skills. I know your likes, your dislikes. I know the way that you're wired up. I know your little weird little ways and your idiosyncrasies. I know your funny ways. I just really, really know you. I know you right well. And I love you. That's what this verse is saying. I know you and I love you. And there's another verse in the Bible that talks about knowing and loving. In fact, let's just have the next verse up as well. All these little babies that we've just had, he knows every single one of these little children perfectly. Look what it says. You know me. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something like an open book. You watch me grow from conception to birth. And the wonderful thing about this is that the Father who loves you and these little children that we've dedicated to Jesus so much, he knows what is going to work for them in life. He knows the best fit. He knows the type of environment that is going to enable them to flourish and thrive and be fruitful and prosper. You know when you've sometimes gone into a work situation and it's not quite your fit? You know, some people like to be in the open air and they die behind a desk. Some people thrive behind a desk and can't stand being in the open air. Some people want to work with their hands and build something. Some people are more conceptual. Some people just love to teach. Some people love to care. We're all really different, aren't we? We all have different skills and different talents. And how important it is for us to actually find our fit in life so that we don't go through life saying, you know, I'm just doing this to make a living. I'm just doing this because I have to. I'm just doing this because this is what has landed my way. But it isn't something that makes you flourish and fly because it's not your fit. Listen, this verse says, I know you. And he knows these little babies, and he knows you, and he really knows what your fit is in life. And when we find that fit and we live in that fit, we become fulfilled and we flourish and we thrive. And we find purpose and meaning in life. And life becomes a joy, not a chore. And so God says, I know you by name. And linked to that, this is another fabulous verse that follows on for it. Not only do I know you by name, but the Bible says that our Father calls us by name. Look at this next verse. Listen to the Lord who created you, the one who formed you. Don't be afraid, for I've ransomed you. I've called you by name. I have invited you into something fantastic. You see, he knows your fit. And he wants to guide you and I into that fit that we just don't endure life, but we live life. And he says, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans, says the Lord, that are good, not for disaster. Plans to give you a future and plans to give you a hope. So he knows you by name and he invites you, he calls you by name. And this is what this dedication is all about, that a day will come when these little babies will come to a place where they will know that God knows them by name, and they will know for themselves that they have their own unique individual calling and destiny and purpose that God has created for them, a fit, a space, that as we follow after God, as we follow Jesus, as we follow in his ways, he leads us and guides us in his pathways that we may know the very best purposes of God for our lives and find our purpose, and in finding our purpose, know an amazing sense of fulfillment. God invites us on that pathway. Next slide, please. Thank you very much. Jesus died that we might cross over the bridge into a relationship with God. Jesus is a bridge to God. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. And when he died upon the cross, he died for all the mess-ups that we make that would separate us from him. The wonderful thing about God's love is this, that he knows in advance that we'd mess up, so he planned in advance a plan that we might know his mercy and create a bridge for us. He knows that these lovely, wonderful, innocent-looking babies that we've dedicated to Jesus don't need to be taught to be naughty. Every parent here knows you don't need to teach your children to be naughty. Tell me, kids, why did you and your brother, what on earth, help me understand this, why did you and your brother feed hot chili peppers to the dog? Just explain it to me one more time. Because you thought it was funny and it made you laugh. Kids don't need to be taught to be naughty, do they? We don't need to be taught to be selfish. We can't help it. But because God knows what we're like and still loves us, because God knows us and still thinks, hey, I still want them to enjoy an amazing life and purpose, he in advance provided a solution to all of our problems. Jesus, who died upon the cross, who took the punishment for our mistakes, that as we put our faith and trust in him, we are forgiven, and our relationship with him becomes a bridge and a pathway into God's amazing future and plan for us. Thank you. Next slide. So it says, you will take my hand and lead me. Your strong right hand will protect me. These little children one day will have the choice where they want to reach their hand up and say, Father, I reach my hand up that you may take hold of mine. Will you lead me and guide me? And can I do life with you? And this morning, every single one of us has that choice as well. My kids put their hand in the hand of Jesus when they were 3, 4, and 5. That's young. I did it when I was 19. Some of my friends have done it when they're 30, 40, and 50. Some of my other friends have done it when they're 76, 78, 79, and 80. It's never too early, and it's never too late to put your hand in the Father who knows you and created you and who invites you to an adventure and a journey that will bring you fulfillment and purpose in life, wherever you are, wherever you live, and whatever circumstance you have. You will take my hand and lead me. Your strong hand will protect me. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you that you know these children and you will invite them into a glorious, wonderful future. I want to thank you that you know us by name and you have called us by name, and we have the opportunity to put our hand in your hand. I pray, Lord, that you will help us and move us to take that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.